Praise the Lord. We're looking at the book of John, the words of Jesus, his farewell words. Perhaps the most beautiful and the saddest words ever spoken on earth. I was reading that farewell. We might get to it tonight or might not. I was reading that farewell and the sadness of it, the reality of it, gripped my heart once more. He had to go. Oh, what it would have been if he could have stayed. What a world it could have become. But it wasn't time yet. Perhaps like was said to Abraham, the cup of iniquity isn't yet full. But what once came to earth, once the most beautiful being in the universe, beautiful than the highest angels, more beautiful than youth Lucifer ever was, more great, more powerful, more loved, more eternal. And he came to our little earth, our little speck of dust in the great galaxies. And the God that fills heaven and earth, he came and on this earth he walked. This water of ours he drank. This food he ate. Came to be with us. And then in such a short while, really manifested, he was only 3 years. The rest of the time he was hidden. He was here, but nobody knew it, hardly. Perhaps no one really knew it. And then he had to say goodbye. They say, I'm going and I won't come back. You won't see me again. I'm going. I think if those disciples had realized how much he was going, they didn't really realize what it was all about. And he said he would come back and they'd see him again. But then he went again. And if they'd realized that, I think it would have broken their hearts. As it was, they were sad, but something so terrible and so wonderful happened on earth. Happened here with us, in this planet of ours, and this humanity of ours. Something so glorious and something so terrible. I don't think any peoples in all the nations and planets and stars to come, I don't think anything ever more wonderful or anything ever more terrible will ever take place. In fact, I don't think anything more terrible could take place than a created being kills his creator. Incomprehensible. Incomprehensible. And furthermore, that the Creator let them do it because he loved them. What a God. What a way. What a salvation. What a gospel. What a story. What reality. No wonder those that know him, love him. Even before we ever see him, we love him. But look at the 16th chapter of John. We see him on the eve of the crucifixion, just a few more hours, and we will have been slain. And he knew it. He understood it all. And yet, he said to his disciples, the first words of chapter 16, these things I have told you about, I've told you all these things because I don't want you to be offended. Because Because these same things are going to happen to people that love God. People that are true followers of Jesus Christ. The same things. Because there is established a hatred of light. Darkness hates light. And the minions, the inhabitants of darkness, hate the inhabitants of light with hatred that is implacable. And because we are children of light, and because we become light in His light, that same hatred will be turned towards those that love Him. Whether they smite you with cords, whether they smite you with a scourge, or whether, as they said to Jeremiah, about Jeremiah, come, they said, let us smite him with our tongues. And tongues can hurt. Let us smite him. There is that hatred, that deep, deep hatred. And Jesus was going on his way to the cross. And he knew that that cross was only the first cross. That was the big cross. But he said to his disciples, that take up your cross and follow me. Up the same road, Via Dolorosa, to the same conclusion. You will be loved only by those that love Him. And the more you manifest your light, the more your voice is heard, the more you become known as a child of light, the more you will be hated. And they will hunt you down and find some ways. There have been times, if you want to read the stories of the Scottish Covenanters, they went out for sport to hunt the people that were God's people. They would hunt them in the forest. They would hunt them in the fields. They would take out their guns and go on hunting trips to find Christians to shoot. And they were absolved from all counts of murder. That happened about 300 years ago in Scotland. They hate. And Jesus said, I'm telling you these things. I'm telling you so you won't be offended, so you won't say, well, what happened? Why? It will happen. Not because you are you, but because who you have become. A child of light. And the powers and forces of darkness hate. And were we not protected, and were not a great angel accompanying you all through life, a guardian angel, guarding you from what? From falling and skinning your knee? Oh, no. That's a small thing. Perhaps that too. But from those that would destroy you. And they are only allowed certain liberties, those powers of darkness. That's why some things will happen. But nothing is not permitted by He to whom you belong. But He said, don't be offended, because these things will happen. These things will take place. You see, these are His farewell words. This is in His farewell address. This is when He's saying, I'm leaving you now. I'm talking from my heart. I'm not giving you parables. I'm not giving you lessons. I'm telling you, because you're mine, because the world hated me, they're going to hate you. And the more you are His, the more the world will hate you. And I'll give you a corollary. The less the world hates you, Jesus said, woe unto you when everybody speaks well of you. Woe unto you when people eulogize you. Woe unto you when people say what a fine person he is. Especially if they're unbelievers. Or especially if they're believers that aren't true believers. Do you know what I mean by that? Because the worst persecutor is the church, believe it or not. Woe unto you. But blessed are you. He said, yea, leap for joy when they speak evil of you and persecute you. That's a strange conundrum, isn't it? Leap for joy. Be really happy. I hear some people criticizing me, telling me what a bad person I am. Hallelujah. They've got to really know me, haven't they? I think I've shared with you, but I'll repeat. One time when I was seeking the Lord early in my life, very intensely, He began to show me who I really was in the sight of God. And He told me to take a piece of paper and write down all the sins that in one way or another were in my heart by the Scriptures, to go through the Scriptures. So I did. And I figured about a half a page filled up. Well, it filled a half a page, then another half. And then another page, and then another page. You got the fourth page, I just quit. I said, God, it's all there, one way or another. Maybe it isn't this way, but it's that way. Maybe I didn't kill anybody, but got angry enough to do so if I could have. So, about a week after that, there was a pastor in the city that for some reason, I don't remember what it was all about, but he was very unhappy with me. And he came to tell me and tell me of his unhappiness with me. And he told me in no hidden words, just quite blatantly, what he thought about me and what he thought I was, what sins were in my heart. And he was just telling me off. And it took him about 15 minutes, and he got through. And I looked at him. I said, "Well, what else?" He said, "Well, what do you mean?" I said, "Well, what else have you got to say? What else is wrong?" He said, "Well, I don't know anything else." I said, "Thank God, brother. I'm glad you don't know the rest." And he just looked at me and didn't know what to say, so he got up and walked out. I meant it. I was glad he didn't know the rest. He just knew a small part. They will hate you. Whether or not you do anything to offend them, they'll find some reason. Because we are light. And so he wanted them to know that. He wanted them to know before he went to the cross. And they did with him what they did. He wanted them to know, this is part of the package. This is part of being my disciple. I've chosen you, and you are not your own. And you are changed, and you are clean. And how people hate clean people. The world hates clean people. He says, you are clean. But he said, they will hate you. Because they hate me. They'll hate you not because of you, they'll hate you because of me. And I'm in you. And they won't even know why. Sometimes people just make a short acquaintance of you or work by you in an office someplace and they can't stand you. And they won't have any reason, they just can't stand you. That's the spirit of the world. But then Jesus went on. He went further than this, and he began to talk about this, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. And in the first 7, he said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Comforter will not come to you. If I depart, I will send him to you. I tell you the truth. It is your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. He will not come to you. If I depart, I will send him to you." You see, Jesus came for one specific purpose. He came to bring redemption and salvation to the world. There was only one way he could do that, and that was to become sin. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Sin had to be dealt with. The Comforter is called the Holy Spirit. We've been talking these days a little bit about the holiness of God. The holiness of God, the holiness of the Holy Spirit, would not allow Him to come and inhabit the heart of one that was not clean. He will not inhabit an unclean heart. In the early days of Pentecost, way on Azusa Street, they taught very clearly that you needed to be converted, you needed to be sanctified for even bothering to pray for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They wouldn't even pray for you. They said He comes, He is holy, and He's coming to a clean place. And if He has to clean it Himself, He will, but He will not come in until it is clean. He said, I have to go. He'd already pronounced them clean, but He pronounced them clean on the basis, hear me, on the basis of what He was going to do on the cross. Without the cross, even His words would not have been valid. Without the cross, even though He said, now you are clean, that would not have been valid if He had not gone to the cross. He said, it's necessary. He said, there's no way that the Holy Spirit will come and I will send Him to you unless the cross stands and is raised up and the blood is accepted and the resurrection comes forth and the sacrifice is accepted by God. Then the Holy Spirit will come. He cannot come in any other way. The Holy Spirit is not going to live in an unholy vessel. The Holy Spirit is not going to inhabit an unclean life. If you want the Holy Spirit, the first thing to do, get your life clean. If you want a real, genuine baptism of the Holy Spirit, then get your life clean. I remember in the early days we used to have what we called tarry meeting. People prayed and prayed and sought the Lord for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And they had some wonderful baptism. But I remember time after time, and remember the testimonies, how people had to go and make things right, and then they had to go make something else right, and then they come back and pray for another week, and then, they have to go make something else right, until finally they had been in their obedience, came to the place where their faith was ready to lay hold on the promises of God, and the Holy Spirit would fill them, and I mean fill them. He is holy. He is holy. He will send you a gift. For I've seen many people healed through the gifts of healing. He will send you the gift of tongues, for it is a gift. But for Him to come in and abide within, for Him to come in and make His habitation within you, for Him to come and make your very body the temple of the Holy Ghost, I want to tell you something, it's going to be clean or He won't be there. I didn't hear one amen, and I don't care. It's still true, whether you like it or not. You can make all the boasts. You can look back to a time when you spoke in tongues and had a little joyful experience. And you can have the boast all you want to that I am baptized with the Holy Spirit. But I want to tell you something. If your life is not clean, He's not there. Sorry about that. If it disillusions you, I'm sorry. But it's the truth. He won't live and abide where things are dirty. He will not. He will not have his habitation a shame and a shambles. He will not have his habitation a reproach. I remember a man in Los Angeles. He was the owner of a large company that sold building materials. And he said to me, he was a Christian, member of a certain church there in near Hollywood. I don't remember the name of the city now. And he said, 84% of my bad debts are Pentecostal Christians. You mean to tell me that the Holy Spirit likes that kind of a reputation? Do you think so? No way. Don't tell me they might be Pentecostal Christians, but they're not Holy Ghost-filled Christians, I'll tell you that. He won't live in that place. He won't abide in that place. You know, the most sensitive, the hardest bird to hunt is the dove. And remember when the dove was sent out from the ark and the raven was sent out? The dove didn't stay out. It came back, didn't it? The raven stayed out. The raven can eat carrion. The dove can't. The raven could park on any carcass of a bull or a goat that floated around in the water and have a happy meal. The dove couldn't. If the dove's going to be in your life, it's not going to be a lot of carrion around, I'll tell you. Ravens, yes. You have those. But not the dove. Jesus said, it's necessary that I go. Because unless he went, and went all through the cross to the resurrection, the Holy Spirit would not come. And for us to receive the Holy Spirit into our life, there had to be a cross. No wonder Paul said, God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, of whom I am crucified to the cross, to the world, and the world is crucified to me. We don't have anything in common. We don't have anything in common. I'm dead to the world, and the world is dead to me. But I glory in the cross, because it's only through the cross that wonderful Holy Spirit, that wonderful Comforter, could come. That's what Jesus said in his farewell talk with his disciples. He said, I have to go. Not that I want to go. They were so sad, don't leave us, don't leave us. He said, I have to go. Because if I don't, the Holy Spirit will not come. And all this wonderful church is worldwide. The church that reached grew over into China. The church that reached to Taiwan. The church that reached to Ethiopia. The church that reached over into Europe would never exist if Christ hadn't taken the way of the cross and opened the door for all of us. I thank God for the cross. I thank God that he chose to leave his friends, leave everything, trusting his Father that, number one, he would keep his word and bring him back in resurrection. And number two, he would keep his word and build a mighty church through the Holy Spirit. He believed God. We're talking about believing the words of God. God said, Moses, you can't go. You've done something I cannot abide. You didn't believe my word. I believe God. I believe the Word of God. I believe that Jesus told the truth when he said persecution must come. All that will be godly must suffer persecution. He said, I don't want you to be offended because it comes, because it will come. But don't be offended. And then he said, but I'm going to leave you, but I'm going to send someone else, and he's going to come. And because I leave, he's going to come and he will be with you. And his name is such a beautiful name, the Helper, the Comforter. And the Comforter has come. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you. I thank you for that wonderful Spirit of God. I thank you for the revelation of the cross, for the revelation of the Holy Spirit, for the revelation of Jesus, and for the revelation of the Father, who ordained that all things should be like they are. I thank you, my God. And I pray, Lord, tonight, that the very rejoicing we can come into is because the Comforter has come. Because he did come. And he came because you did go through. You did go the way of the cross. You did not elect to take some easier way. You said, it's necessary. It's necessary. It's necessary. It's your advantage. It has to be so that the Holy Spirit can come. And he came. Hallelujah. We have a song, The Comforter
has come. Oh, I remember how we used to sing that when I was a boy. And the Holy Spirit was making Himself so real around the world. And tens of thousands were being filled with the Holy Spirit. We would sing it and sing it and sing it. The Comforter has come. Oh, sing it. The Comforter has come. All the world around.